This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Well, it is Live Bet Saturday. Mark Melusis and Will Hill with you right here on VSiN, an action-packed 2 hours. And we got plenty of things to get into for sure. We've got to look ahead to tomorrow night, Game 2 of the NBA Finals, Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals coming your way Monday night down in Sunrise as the Panthers and Oilers are tied up at a game apiece. We've got the Belmont up at rainy Saratoga, which has been a disaster with two races getting canceled. But we'll look ahead to the Belmont Stakes with a post time right around 7 o'clock tonight. Mike Somich will join us a little later on in the program. And we've got seven big-time baseball games getting going in the 4 p.m. Eastern time hour. So, Will, good afternoon, brother. How are you?
Mark, always fun to be with you. Excited to break these games down. Like you said, a lot of different ways to go here. A little bit of a sampler platter with the Major League Baseball going on right now. College baseball, we got four games in action, a bunch coming up. NBA tomorrow, NHL, it's a little bit of a day off, a little bit of a breather. But a lot to talk about. Yankees, Red Sox later. Yankees got the win last night, so excited to get into it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we've got the Belmont Stakes up at Saratoga, a field of eight. And obviously you've got three big win contenders in that one with the Derby winner, Sovereignty, the Preakness winner in journalism, and Baeza, who was a fast closing third on the first Saturday in May at Churchill Downs over a sloppy track. And it will be a sloppy track later on tonight. Mike Somich will join us a little later on the program. Well, let's get into a little bit of baseball. You know, we've got seven games going right here in the 4 p.m. Eastern time hour. Let's start, out San Francisco at the Giants and the Braves. Webb on the mound, Elder on the mound for Atlanta. The Braves, obviously, with that brutal loss the other day to the Arizona Diamondbacks, where they had that huge lead in the top half of the ninth inning end up losing that game 11-10. I mean, just unbelievable, stunning. Chipper Jones even tweeting out that he took a nap when they were leading that game, woke up, and all of a sudden they lost the game, and he couldn't believe what happened. So you look at this matchup, though, what do you think? Any take on the Braves here? And we'll look big picture Atlanta here in just a second, but how about Braves and Giants?
It would only be the Giants for me. You get into these things where you got 7-8 games on at 4 o'clock and you end up handicapping them and you want to give out picks, but you don't really want to bet every game unless you're really betting it small. I think this price is reasonable for Webb, who not just this year, historically has been much better at home than on the road. Elder is nothing special. He had actually made an all-star team one of his first years in the league, but there was some flukiness to that. Yeah, he gets hit hard. He doesn't have great stuff. So, it would be the Giants laying a cheap price or nothing for me. That's the way I would go in the $1.45, $1.50 range. And you said it, man, the Braves, one of the big stories right now, because you usually don't say here on what, June 6th or 7th, whatever, the first week in June, this is a must-win game or a must-win series. Boy, you're getting pretty close. I know there's a lot of time left. The season is long, but the season is not eternal. When you're 8 games under 500 and the only teams you're ahead of in the National League are the Rockies, the Pirates, and the Marlins, it is dire times. We're even behind Washington. You could dig yourself a hole that you just can't get out of. And this is no longer, it's early. There is time left, but it's not early anymore. Once you get to June and you're trailing all these teams, I think the division is just a pipe dream at this point. I know they've done it in the past. A few years ago, they ran down the Mets late in August and in September. And then in the year they won it all, 2021, they finished very strong. They might be digging themselves a hole that it's just impossible to get out of at this point.
Yeah, and we'll get to some odds and updated odds with the Atlanta Braves here momentarily. I think they're 19-1 to win the National League East. The Mets right now leading that division. They're -155 favorite to win the National League East. I think they're +285 in order to just make the playoffs. Let's run through some of these other quick 4 o'clock start games quickly here, Will. The Rangers on the road in Washington taking on the Nationals. The Jacob deGrom on the mound for Texas. They're a -166 favorite, and the total in the game is sitting at 8.
Don't love the idea of laying this big price with Texas, who can't really hit. So either you're forced to lay the 164, which is a pretty big price, or lay the run and a half, or lay a half a run in the first 5 innings. But I would still only look towards Texas. Do you want to lay the extra juice? I want to play on DeGrom. He's been good. He hasn't been great. Didn't have really the strikeout stuff last time out against the Cardinals. You could just play a Washington team total under in the first half at 1.5. And that might be the way to go, but it would be Texas or nothing at some point. And maybe, again, same thing, similar thing to the Braves here. You kind of are who you are at this point of the season. I know there's a long time to go, but the Rangers, well, a lot of people, myself included, thought they were live, World Series champ 2 years ago. They get DeGrom back. They got all these names in the lineup that you like, that you recognize. They can't score any runs. It just does not translate. Seager is on and off the IL. So it'd be Texas or nothing for me. But with their lack of offense, I can understand the hesitance here to play on Texas.
Out in Pittsburgh, the great Andrew Heaney on the mound, or Haney on the mound for the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're entertaining the Philadelphia Phillies with Suarez on the mound for Philadelphia. Phillies are a minus 144 favorite. The total in the game is set at 8 with a 406 first pitch, Will.
Yankees legend Andrew Heaney, I think is what you meant to say. Phillies bats haven't really gotten going yet.
A Brian Cashman special. That's what Andrew Heaney was. Yes, Cashman, no doubt.
Special. Yes, and that was that wasn't Josh Smith they traded. That was Josh Smith, I think, went in the Gallo deal. That was the same summer where it was, he's had some doozies, but not one of his better ones for sure. This would be Philly's first 5 or nothing for me. Heaney's been okay. Suarez, I think, is pretty good. The Phillies' bats haven't gotten going. I've got to check here on an updated lineup. I know Harper's been banged up, so even if he plays here, he's not 100%. It would be Philly's first 5 or nothing. It's mostly 4 in the first 5. If you can get a 4.5, which you can in most of these books, you can basically just pick your number and pick your juice. Wouldn't mind playing the under 4.5 because I do think runs could be hard to come by, but it will be Philly's first 5 or nothing for me.
All right, Marlins on the road in Tampa, taking on the Rays at Steinbrenner Field, the spring training home of the Yankees. Bradley on the mound for Tampa. Weathers on the mound for Miami. The Tampa Bay Rays are a minus 162 favorite. Will, total in the game sitting at 8.5.
It's a little expensive for Tampa, who's played pretty well here recently. Weathers isn't bad. He was a guy who had a lot of hope coming up, was for the Padres, big time stuff. Sometimes these pitchers, especially lefties, it just takes a while for it to click. Seems like it's starting to click. I know it wasn't great his last time out, but didn't play this game. If I had to do anything, I would just take a half a run in the first 5 with Miami. With Weathers, I think he could pitch pretty well. Bradley's been pretty good too, so. I was tempted by the plus price on Miami, but I'll be conservative here. I'll take the half a run with Miami in the first 5.
All right, Astros and Guardians in Cleveland, 4-11 first pitch. Williams on the mound for the Guardians. Brown on the mound for the Houston Astros. The Astros are a slight minus a $1.10 favorite. The Guardians -106, kind of even. The total in the game is sitting at 7, Will.
Very low total. Starting to even see some 6.5s pop up. It doesn't mean I want to go over. Hunter Brown has been outstanding. He's going to be right there for Cy Young with some of these other names you recognize. Gavin Williams, I think he's really good. I think he's got the stuff. I know he's roughed up by the Dodgers. I think 2 starts ago was on Memorial Day where they got to him, which can happen when it's the Dodgers. But he's got great velocity, great, the underlying metrics are pretty impressive. I would take Cleveland, again, plus a half run in the first 5, I think, is one of those cop-outs where, you know what, it's 1-1 or 2-2 after 5. You win your bet. That's very valuable, getting the half a run in the first 5, especially when runs are at a premium, and that half a run is just worth so much more. So should be a good pitcher's duel. I think this has like a 3-2, 2-1 game, 1-0. I wouldn't even be shocked if it's that kind of game. I think both pitchers will pitch really well. I'll take the half a run here in what should be a very low-scoring game in the first 5.
How about the Diamondbacks and Reds out in Cincinnati? Martinez on the mound for the Reds. Nelson on the mound for Arizona. Both minus 108. The total in the game is sitting at 9, Will.
Yeah, and this was a second game of a doubleheader, sort of, because they finished the game from last night. Cincinnati won on a walk-off. It was 3-3 after 6. They continued that game today. Didn't play it. Don't have a great feel for it. I don't mind both pitchers. I think both pitchers are decent. But that's a dangerous place to play an under. Arizona, boy, they've been another team very disappointing. Now they're going to miss Burns basically until 2027. It's amazing these guys get hurt and you don't see them for another 2 years. But nothing for me. Would just be a lean towards the under, but I pass the game for the most part.
All right, last game in that 4 o'clock window, 4-11 first pitch. The Kansas City Royals on the road taking on the Chicago White Sox. Adrian Hauser on the mound for Chicago. Michael Wacha on the mound for the Kansas City Royals. The Royals, as you would expect, a favorite in this one. They're minus 138. The total in the game, Will, sitting at 8.
Two Mets legends, Michael Wacha and Adrian Hauser. It's both former Mets. Both have been pretty good. Wacha's been good. Hauser's been decent. Kansas City, I want to lay it with them. That's another team, though. They just don't hit. It's wit, and it's just not much else. I would play Kansas City, if anything. I don't love the offense. You know, if you can find that 4.5 in the first 5, even if it's juiced, I might go that way. But I think Kansas City probably wins a low-scoring game. White Sox, we've talked about this. White Sox are a little better this year, which, look, it's hard to be worse than what they were last year, but they put the ball in play. They're at least, you know, somewhat competitive. I want to bet Kansas City. I just don't quite trust the offense. I like both pitchers, so maybe I should go under, but I don't know. We pretty much ran through all these 4 o'clock ones, and we got games going on right now. Any of those jump out to you in terms of things you want to tail or fade, or just general thoughts on any of these games?
Yeah, I mean, I would take the Giants. I mean, coming back to the conversation we started with the Atlanta Braves, you know, I understand it's only June 7th. I just don't see it happening for Atlanta. I mean, I really don't. And you look at the San Francisco Giants have gotten. So I'll tell you on the San Francisco Giants, love, you know, as compared to what we've seen, you know, and whether it be the injuries, whether it be down performance, you know, they've gotten Acuna back, they've gotten some guys back, but you know, that mojo, Will, that we have seen here with the Atlanta Braves for the better part of the last 3-4 years, you just don't see that this year. And I think the odds obviously would lead you to believe that in the betting market as well, there's not a belief that Atlanta is going to rally here. They're plus 285 to make the playoffs. They're 19-1 to win the division.
And how about last night? They call up Craig Kimbrell, has been working his way back to the minors. They use him right away in a big spot. He doesn't pitch well, and then they cut him, designated from assignment. Very strange that you'd have that much faith. First, he wasn't good enough to be in the majors like 2 days ago. Now you're putting him in a prime spot, and then he's done. Very strange, you know, things going on here in Atlanta.
No question about it. We do have a score in the Phillies and the Pirates. Kyle Schwarber with a home run. So we've got a Schwarbomb early on for Philadelphia. They jump out on top of the Pittsburgh Pirates, 1-0, and they're in the middle of the first inning. It is Live Bet Saturday. He's Will Hill. I'm Mark Melusis right here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is Live Bet Saturday. Mark Melusis and Will Hill alongside with you. A beautiful Saturday right here on VSiN. A lot of baseball going on right now. At top of the eighth inning, the Toronto Blue Jays leading the Minnesota Twins 4-3. Toronto a minus 290 favorite. If you think Minnesota's going to rally here, you're getting plus 215. The total in the game is sitting at 8.5. The Dodgers and Cardinals, they're in the bottom of the seventh. That game is scoreless. Los Angeles a minus 142 favorite. The St. Louis Cardinals, even though they are home and have a little bit more an additional out to go out there and play with, they're plus 112. The total in the game is sitting at 2.5. The Texas Rangers and Washington Nationals. Texas has jumped out on top of the Washington Nationals 1-0 in the top half of the first inning. They are threatening men on first and third, two out. The Rangers right now are a minus 430 favorite with Jacob DeGrom on the mound. The total in the game is sitting at 8.5. The Pirates have answered against the Philadelphia Phillies after the Schwarber home run gave Philadelphia a 1-0 lead in the top half of the first inning. Pittsburgh has pushed across a run. That game is now tied up at 1. Still batting in the bottom of the first inning. Man on, nobody out for Pittsburgh. The Pirates are a minus 125 favorite. The Philadelphia Phillies minus 102. The total in the game is sitting at 9.5. The Giants and the Braves are scoreless, as are the Astros and the Guardians. Anything strike your fancy there, Will, when you're looking at what we have going on in Major League Baseball up to the moment?
No, I saw Schwarber with a homer. Great start to the season for him. Really, career year in a lot of these categories. He's an analytics darling with just the homers, the walks, the on-base percentage. But Pittsburgh has quickly answered here, so it's 1-1. How about the Dodgers? Shut out last night and now being shut out in the seventh, and then they put another pitcher on the IL today. We could probably just clip me saying them putting a pitcher on the IL and just replay it every day. It seems like every day they have another pitcher hurt. Today is Tony Gonsolin going on the IL. I think they're up to 20, over 20 pitchers on the IL. Some of it's backdated from last year, the offseason or whatever, but that's still just the ridiculous. I mean, 20 pitchers hurt on the IL. It's the first week of June and you got 20 pitchers injured, and they went through the same thing last year. So you got to wonder, is it something with how they're teaching the pitchers? Is it the fact that, you know, they take chances on these guys that are boom or bust and they're injury prone, and they just say, you know what, let's just get a bunch of these and hopefully half of them can stay healthy and be in good shape. And that's just bizarre to see all of these injuries on one staff, and it didn't affect them last year. But look, Dodgers, we know their season starts in October here, and you don't have to worry too much. But getting shut out again today, they have not played great here the last, I don't know, few weeks, month or so. They haven't looked like the Dodgers. But again, It's the Dodgers. They're going to get Ohtani back on the mound. They're going to probably trade for a pitcher or two pitchers or three pitchers or whatever they need. They're like the old Yankees. They're just going to keep adding players and spend and spend and spend and buy and buy and buy. So it is interesting here to see the Dodgers go through one of these funks.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I also think it's kind of a little bit of a come down moment after the four game set we saw between the Mets and the Dodgers during the course of the week, which is, I think, something that you can look at if you're a baseball fan looking at these marketplaces, right? So not every series is one and the same when you're looking at a long 162 game season. We can get to the injuries, right? And there have been a cavalcade of them for the Los Angeles Dodgers, but you even saw with the Mets last night, you know, on the road. And I know Colorado's played better within the last week, but, you know, they need a little Alonso magic and then the Lindor, you know, big two run hit, you know, to go out there and knock off Colorado, who are, is one of the worst baseball teams I've ever seen, Will. So you're seeing this with St. You know, for the Dodgers out there in St. Louis, I agree with you. I don't think they necessarily have looked all that great, but I think you hit upon the key. You do know this. Management's going to go out there if they need to continue to add to this Dodger team come the MLB trade deadline. They don't care about prospects. They don't care about 4 years from now. They don't care about 5 years from now. For the Dodgers, who are the new evil empire of Major League Baseball, it's all about the here and now.
Yep, 100%. And I'm sure there's probably what you said too, a little human element, not just a come down series after the Mets, but I mean, this is the team that won a World Series last year. Their expectations are win a World Series again. We're sitting here in the middle of the June. I don't know, there's a little boredom, a little complacency set in. That's one of those talking points we talked about, you know, all winter and leading up to the season. Get to 105 on, you know, on paper, they can do it, but injuries, boredom, complacency, maybe those are things middle of the season here where you're not going to bring that intensity every night. And everyone faces the Dodgers knowing, hey, we got to bring our best shot, give our best punch. But I don't know, you wouldn't consider them. You think they're still a pretty good bet? Would you use the word lock to win the division? Are they 100% winning the division? Like, who could steal it from them? I guess it's a better way to ask it.
I don't feel comfortable betting on San Diego or San Francisco. You know, I really don't. I think it's the Dodgers division to lose when you're looking at the National League West. I mean, don't you, Will? I mean, I know they haven't played great baseball. We're sitting here in the month of June. I do think once we hit the All-Star break, once we get to the second half of the season, I think the Dodgers will go out there and hit their stride. There's too many good players on this team. The roster has got too many talented players to think that, you know, they're going to be like this. And you know, there is a level and a standard that the Dodgers have set a tone for where you hit upon the injuries. You know, what's the death blow? It doesn't seem like there's anyone, right? They won a World Series last year where they were winning. They were using bullpen games against the New York Yankees and still ended up winning the World Series and got through it. Use bullpen games against the San. I mean, so what exactly is going to be the death blow when you look at the Los Angeles Dodgers? Like, I just don't see it. And I don't have, even though you look at San Francisco, they're two games back. San Diego is only a game back in the National League West. Even though they're the favorite of favorites, how exactly do you believe in any of those two as compared to what you've seen here over the last, you know, 5-6 years from that LA Dodger franchise?
Yeah, and it's interesting because all these teams were playing so great to start the season. They've all been in their own way disappointing. Arizona's definitely been disappointing. San Francisco has come back to the pack. The Padres, just that they don't hit as much as you think. Their bullpen's been disappointing. They've been overall, you know, they've cooled down after they looked like one of the premier contenders, and the Dodgers have been disappointing. So all four of these teams just look like the super division of all super divisions. It's still a really good division, but I think these teams all have shown their warts here, some of their flaws.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Take a look at some of the other games that are going on right now. The Atlanta Braves the Braves and the Giants, they are scoreless in the middle half of the second inning. The Atlanta Braves, who are in all kinds of trouble, they're plus 140. The San Francisco Giants, who Will and I are both on today, they're minus 180. The total in the game is sitting at 6.5. The Astros and the Guardians, they're also scoreless in the bottom half of the first inning. The Reds and the Diamondbacks just got underway. They're scoreless in the bottom half of the first inning. The Royals and the White Sox are scoreless in the bottom half of the first inning. The Chicago White Sox are threatening with two men on and one out right now against Kansas City. And the Miami Marlins and the Tampa Bay Rays are scoreless in the top half of the first inning.
What games you got your eye on? Anything? Anything jumping out to you? Anything interest you?
I mean, listen, I'd be interested. I would be interested in Kansas City right now as a minus 115 favorite, even though the White Sox are threatening. I do think, you know, the White Sox are a terrible baseball team. We saw the news this past week that, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf at some point in time is going to be, it might take 5 years, but is going to finally be selling the Chicago White Sox. I think that's a benefit there. I like the San Francisco Giants. I think, you know, when you look on to the action, I like some action a little bit later on tonight when you're looking at the Mets and the Rockies and obviously the Yankees and the Red Sox. And we'll hit upon that a little bit later on in Live Bet Saturday. But that probably it right now for me would be taking a look at the Kansas City Royals. You know, going up against Chicago.
Yeah, and this is I got my eye on Cleveland Houston. It's just such a good pitching matchup. Hunter Brown, everyone knows, is really good. Gavin Williams, I think, is under the radar. So I do have half a run in the first five here. Cleveland, two on, one out with Manzardo up. So they got a little rally going against against Brown as he's trying to work out of trouble. So keep my eye on that. So you know, doing this show every Saturday at 4 o'clock, they really overload the 4 o'clock Eastern window. They can give us a couple of early games today, but it's all 4 o'clock and later. A lot of these games are bunched at four. I say this every week. People that listen to the show every week get tired of hearing it. I don't know why they don't spread it out more. Start some of these games, noon Eastern, one Eastern. People are home. People want to watch baseball. I don't know why they clump everything together at four Eastern, but nobody listens to me when it comes to Major League Baseball scheduling. Nobody has consulted me with as of yet.
I mean, seven games you're getting today, Will. I mean, seven games in that 4 o'clock window, I think it's a little bit too much. I mean, we've got an action-packed Saturday for sure when you look at it, especially with the fact of we don't have an NBA Finals game tonight. And I understand they can't plan in advance like that. We don't have a Stanley Cup Finals game tonight. So, you know, Major League Baseball has kind of got the full boat, and I get it. And we've got the Belmont Stakes going on up at Saratoga, third jewel of the Triple Crown. But I agree with you. I think it's a little bit too action-packed when you're looking at the baseball with seven games here in the 4 o'clock window. Want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now and get instant access for a daily email with all the bets and all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-2026 NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited-time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code BOOK to sign up. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. All the baseball that's going on. We'll look ahead to the NBA Finals Game 2 tomorrow night out in Oklahoma City. Pacers and Thunder after Indiana stole Game 1. Stanley Cup Finals and the Belmont Stakes. Mike Somich will join us hour number 2. He's Will Hill. I'm Mark Melusis. It's Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Live Bet Saturday. Mark Melusis and Will Hill with you right here on VSiN. A lot of baseball going on right now. The Toronto Blue Jays leading the Minnesota Twins 4-3, and they're in the top half of the ninth inning. That game is in Minnesota, so the Twins are going to need a little ninth inning magic. Dodgers and Cardinals still remain scoreless in the bottom half of the eighth inning. That game out in St. Louis. The Texas Rangers have jumped out on top of the Washington Nationals 2-0. Texas with DeGrom on the mound is a minus 430 favorite. You think the Nats are going to rally, you're going to get 3-1 on your money. The Philadelphia Phillies and the Pittsburgh Pirates, and that game in Pittsburgh, they're a 1-1 tie in the bottom half of the second inning. And that game's minus 113 or $1.13 each and every way. The other game, how about the Cincinnati Reds jumped out on top of Arizona 3-0 in the bottom half of the first inning. Cincinnati's still batting. They have men on second and third and one out. They're now a minus 850 favorite when you look at the Cincinnati Reds going up against Arizona. And they're already out 3-0, and they've pushed across three runs in their home half of the first inning. And Will, they were listening. The Kansas City Royals got out of a little bit of a jam in the bottom half of the first inning. How about the Royals, who I said I'd back? Kansas City now leading Chicago 1-0 in the top half of the second inning. They have a man on with one out. So Kansas City able to scratch across a run.
An offensive eruption by the Kansas City Royals to score an early run here as they have a man on second with two outs. And like you said, Cincy up 3-0, and they're threatening for more. Second and third, one out, minus 700 on the live line. Rays and Marlins still scoreless. Yeah, that's about it. We got Giants and Braves still scoreless. We're already in the top of the third there. So DeGrom has a 2-0 Texas. That was a good one. Hopefully people tailed to that one. Yankees and Red Sox later. Were you at the game last night? I know sometimes you go to these Friday night games. Were you at the one last night?
I was not. I was not at Yankee Sox. Okay. No, I was back in the studio last night. That was no Yankee okay. Sox for me. But, I mean, you got what you kind of expected. I mean, the Red Sox are all kinds of bad. They really are. And the Yankees able to jump out on top early. They led that game at one point in time 7-0. You know, their pitching got a little leaky. Red Sox got themselves back into it. I think you saw Alex Bregman with the mustache to begin the game and then shave the mustache when they were getting their doors throttled and step back into the dugout. He's on the IL for the Boston Red Sox. But, no, I was not at the game last night. And that's going to be a Fox game later on this evening. Yankees and Sox, and you know, it is a great rivalry, Will. It's not one and the same. Like I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, like when you think about, you know, peak to me, Yankees, Red Sox, and you know, in the 80s, the playoff system was completely different. Boston was always better, you know, with Boggs and Clemens and Jim Rice and right. Dewey Evans. I mean, they were always better. To me, you know, when you think about peak Yankees rivalry, it's Pedro Martinez, Johnny Damon, Kevin Mullen, like that yeah. to me was an amazing time for this rivalry. Kurt Schilling, when Mike Mussina had his perfect game broken up by Carl Everett on that Sunday night baseball game on ESPN. Like those are the times when I think about peak for me as a Yankee fan. For me, that was peak Yankees Red Sox rivalry.
Yeah, I would say, and it comes in waves. Sometimes it's dormant, and sometimes it sparks back up. They need to both be good to have that juice. It's interesting, they've both been pretty good for the most, maybe not the Red Sox, but they've had stretches where they're both good, you know, the last 10 years, just never at the same time, haven't met in the playoffs since. Oh, they had the wild card game, so that was a little moment. But yeah, for the most part, 03 to 05, 06, Damon left, I think, 05. They had the back-to-back seven gamers. 03 and 04 both were great series for different reasons with different results. The 03 one was a great one with the Aaron Boone walk-off, but then they somehow lost that series to the Marlins. Then they got stunned the next year, as we all know, with the Red Sox winning. So that was a lot of fun. And they both operated differently because it was just an arms race of who can add the most players. They were always in competition for all the best players. We're going to try to get A-Rod. No, we're going to try to get him. Schilling. It was almost like they both operated like the Dodgers operate now, where it was just they wanted every player. They wanted to keep them away from the other players. It was a lot more fun. But the Red Sox not really doing their part to keep up. As far as this game tonight,
Crochet and Yarbrough are your pitching matchup.
I'd bet Crochet if anything.
Yeah, well, I was going to, you stole the words right out of my mouth, Will. I was going to ask you, can I tempt you to take the Boston Red Sox tonight? Yarbrough's done a nice job for the Yankees this year. When you look yes. at him, a converted reliever into the starting rotation has given them some representable starts. Boston kind of has been sluggish when you look at it. They've been a lot of drama. They've been trying to find answers. They've called up some of the guys from the farm system, some of their highly touted prospects. One of them hit a home run last night. You like to see that if you're a Red Sox fan. But if you're thinking, this is going to be the Yankees steamroll in Boston, if you're looking at the pitching matchup, Crochet should be able, even with this Yankee lineup, how good Judge is. Chisholm, who's at probably like 70-75%, he's going to hit some Yankee Stadium home runs in that short porch in right field. Volpe has not been necessarily the offensive player you expected. It's really kind of the steadying forces in that Yankee lineup have been two guys. It's been Judge, who the best hitter in all of Major League Baseball. It's been Goldschmidt at first base. I mean, those have been the two guys that have been the steady forces offensively. But when you look at this matchup tonight, this has got to be one that favors Boston with Crochet on the mound going up against Yarbrough.
Yeah, and look, the Red Sox always hit at Yankee Stadium. Devers always hits. I feel like you could just set your clock to a game at Yankee Stadium. You feel like Devers is going to go deep. He's just such a good hitter. You put him in that ballpark. Just always, he owned Cole. He always matches up well against the Yankees. Yarbrough's been decent, like you said. It was a really good performance against the Dodgers to avoid the sweep on Sunday Night Baseball. But there's still some holes in this Yankee rotation. Schmidt and Yarbrough. Schmidt's okay, but Yarbrough, Will Warren's up and down. Freed and Rodon at the top have been excellent, and that's, the bullpen's pretty good. Weaver's now hurt, so we talked about this last time we were together a month ago. If you had to pick an American League team to come out of the World Series, I would pick the Yankees. Who would you pick at this point?
Yeah, I'd probably take the Yankees. I mean, the only other team you would take would be Detroit, would it not? Right. I mean, that would basically be it. Where else would you go with any sort of confidence whatsoever? The American League East is terrible. At least the Central, you know, is a little bit more competitive when you look at it. And I think the Tigers are, especially with Skubal at the top of the end of their starting rotation, they're really good. The Yankees, obviously, Freed has been worth the money year number one, the big free agent signing from the Atlanta Braves in the offseason. You know, they're now going to be without Luke Weaver for the better part of probably the next 5.5 to 6 weeks. Devin Williams, the former Brewers closer, steps into that role, but he has struggled year number one after they acquired him. The Yankees did from Milwaukee during the course of the offseason, but I don't think there's any other great threats. There's nobody in the West that scares me. I think it's the Yankees or the Tigers. I mean, that's kind of where you're at in terms of the teams that you fear the most, or the teams, the two teams that are the favorites. They should be the favorites. They're the two best teams in the American League in terms of coming out of that, getting themselves to the Fall Classic.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And from a Red Sox standpoint, we're looking at a few teams that we thought would be contenders. Wouldn't be shocked if they're in the ALCS, NLCS. That might be sellers. That probably will be sellers. The Red Sox, the Rangers. Rangers are 6 games under .500. I know the American League is sort of wide open. You could talk yourself into one of these wild card races. But Red Sox, Rangers, Braves, and Diamondbacks, those are all teams. You know, you wouldn't have been shocked if somebody told you before the year that those would be the four teams in the NLCS, ALCS. Braves, Red Sox versus Rangers, and Braves versus Diamondbacks. You say, all right, you know, that's a reasonable Final Four. You'd be surprised the Dodgers aren't there.
Yeah.
But those are all teams with very high expectations. They're probably all going to be sellers. I mean, the Diamondbacks now, they haven't played well. They lose Burns. So guys like Gallen, Merrill Kelly, some of the veteran bats. There's some interesting names if these teams end up deciding to punt and get some prospects. Red Sox have players, you know, Jaron Duran, you know, some of these other guys on their team. There's some players to offer here if these four become sellers, which I would think they are. I mean, we're not that far from the deadline. I know there's still some time left, but very disappointing teams for some of these disappointing seasons.
Which one of those teams are the most disappointing, Will?
Probably Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's Atlanta.
Yeah.
I think it's Atlanta. I don't think there's any, you know, for a team, I have to check and go back and look. I mean, their win total was sitting at what, 93.5, I think, before the start of the season. When you look at the Atlanta Braves to where they are right now, I think Atlanta, when we're looking at them potentially being done, and we haven't even hit the 4th of July weekend and thinking that it's just not going to work this year for Atlanta. That, to me, is stunning. The St. Louis Cardinals have pushed across a run. They're leading the Los Angeles Dodgers. They did that in the bottom of the 8th inning. The Dodgers are down to their final two outs. The Cardinals are a minus. They're a 14-1 favorite in this one to win it. As they lead the Dodgers 1-0 in the top half of the 9th inning. The Texas Rangers leading the Washington Nationals 2-0 in the bottom of the 2nd inning. Mentioned the Cincinnati Reds pushed across 3 runs. They did better than that, 5-0 now, and they're still batting in the bottom of the 1st inning against the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Cincinnati Reds, and we've got a long way to go in this one. Right now, they're a 12-1 favorite, minus 1,200 to win the baseball game, but they're leading Arizona 5-0 in the bottom half of the 1st inning, Will.
Yeah, and I know we're running up against it here. I guess we'll talk about it when we come back. I'm curious your thoughts of those four teams that are potential sellers: Diamondbacks, Braves, Red Sox, Rangers, all disappointing. I'm curious if I told you right now one of them made the playoffs, I'm curious which one you'd pick. We'll tease it in the next.
We'll give you an answer. That's a tease. I love it, Will. There you go. We'll get into that next. He's Will Hill. I'm Mark Melusis. It's Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Live Bet Saturday. Mark Melusis and Will Hill alongside with you right here on VSiN. Mike Somich is going to join us next hour to preview the Belmont Stakes up at beautiful Saratoga. We'll update you on the latest and greatest with everything going on the Saturday action in Major League Baseball momentarily. But let's look ahead here, Will, to Game 2 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night out in Oklahoma City. The Indiana Pacers did it again, and maybe we shouldn't be surprised any longer. I mean, maybe these epic comebacks and coming back from, they did against Milwaukee, they did against Cleveland, they did against the Knicks, and You know, they did it game one against the 68-win Oklahoma City Thunder, rallying from 15 points down. Halliburton with the game winner with 0.3 seconds left. The only time they led game one was with 0.3 seconds left. Think about that. Let that marinate for a second. But, you know, Will, you and I have been, you know, following sports for a long, long time, you know, and I know, like, Destiny's Darling, Magic Carpet Ride, all the sports cliches, you get it. Sometimes it's just your year. And maybe, you know, maybe we'll all realize it. Those that are back in Oklahoma City will realize it in a painful, painful way in the end. But this is now turned into commonplace for Indiana, to where even if they're down 12 late third quarter, you think it's inevitable that they're going to find a way to come through to rally to at least make them sweat, the opponent sweat, or potentially go out there and win the game. It's remarkable.
And not only do they keep doing it, I keep not thinking they're going to do it. Like, it didn't really occur to me. It didn't cross my mind watching that game on Thursday. I had the Thunder minus the points, and it became a point where I was like, man, I don't think OKC is going to cover here. I was worried they're not going to cover. I felt like I had the right side of most of the game. You know, up by more than 10 most of the game. They couldn't quite land the knockout punch. I was like, man, I feel like I'm going to cover until I didn't. But it didn't really occur to me that they weren't going to win the game. Same thing with Duke Houston in that Final Four game. I was looking at that game like, man, Houston might pull a backdoor cover here. And then all of a sudden they win and you're just stunned. So stunning, shocking, unbelievable, unprecedented. You could throw out all of these words to describe what they're doing. None of them do justice to it. It's all just, man, you almost need to create a new word for what they're doing. It's really historic stuff. I can't remember a team, and this is hard to, you know, back up or hard to prove or disprove. This is the greatest string of comebacks in the history of sports, at least since I've been watching. To do what they did, remember, down 7, 30 seconds left against Milwaukee, they win. Down 8 with like a minute change left against Cleveland, they win that. What they did with the Knicks, which I still think the Knicks is the craziest one just because there was so little time left. And then the other night, I mean, Caruso gets fouled to make it a 14-point game, goes to the line, misses the free throw at 96-82. You think, all right, no big deal, misses a free throw. They're up 14 instead of 15. Next thing you know, Toppin hits a three. Miles Turner eventually banks in a three. That's when I started, uh-oh, this is at least looking for like a cover for Indiana. They get a break on the two missed free throws. They get a lane violation. And then give Halliburton credit. And I think everyone watching that game just assumed that ball was going through the net somehow. He only makes the shot, he takes it and makes it a time where there's no chance for OKC to respond with anything meaningful. 0.3 seconds, you can't really do anything. And Indiana just shockingly wins the game. And I went back and rewatched it. You know what else stuck out to me? From 7 minutes on, I don't think we got a timeout. We got stoppages because of the free throws. But for the most part, it was just straight through. It was action. It was exciting. There was one review here and there, but it was just a lot of basketball. I still think OKC is probably in good shape to win the series. Famous last words. I mean, I don't know. I don't have any interest in laying the 11 tomorrow. I can't lay 11 against this Pacers team. I continue to be amazed by what they did. I still think OKC is better, but I don't know. Do you feel any differently about this series? How did you think this series was going to play out going in, and what if anything has changed since game one here?
Well, no, I mean, I liked Oklahoma City in six, just like everybody else, you know, outside of Indianapolis, or that if you're, you know, or if you had played for the Indiana Pacers at one point in time or worked for Indiana at one point in time in your career. I think Oklahoma City's a better basketball team, but I'm stunned. Like, I really am when, you know, you look at it, Cleveland had some injuries. It was a really flawed Knicks team. You know, this is a Thunder team that, you know, people like throwing around historically great defense when you look at it. Indiana won a game where they turned the basketball over 24 times. Like, think about that. On the road in the NBA Finals, they turned the basketball over 24 times and they still won. Like, those are the remarkable aspects of it. Does it necessarily change my thoughts on the series? No. I mean, I think we saw in that Denver series that this Thunder team can go out there and respond. But I will say this, better be careful. You know, if you're Oklahoma City, you know, they're an 11-point favorite going into game two tomorrow night, and they were a 10.5-point favorite in game one of this NBA Finals. The total is sitting at 228.5. You know, Indiana is going into that game with a whole hell of a lot of belief after what happened in game number one. And what we have seen here from Oklahoma City as well, Will, you know, you saw it at times in the Denver series. You saw it in that one game in the Minnesota series where they got their doors blown off and lost by 40-plus points. This is not the same Oklahoma City team on the road as compared to where they are at home. And I'd be a little bit concerned, not necessarily about SGA, but I'd be a little bit concerned about Chet Holmgren, who was brutal in game one. Be a little bit concerned about Jalen Williams, because they're going to need those secondary guys, those tertiary guys, to be able to step up in this series if the Thunder are going to go out there and take care of Indiana. Because I think that defense is really good, but I'll tell you this, they created the turnovers. They didn't generate a lot of points off those turnovers in game one.
That's the key stat. You hit it. You think all those turnovers, they're going to lead to points. It just didn't happen. They were not able to convert. Some of them, I thought the shots were rushed off the turnovers, where OKC just really, were they going for the kill a little bit with some threes that were rushed? And look, they make one of them, one more three, they win the game. So you don't want to overreact, say OKC is just, you know, drawing dead here or anything like that. But hey, man, you only got to win four, and they got one of them, the Pacers did, and they got it on the road. Are they going to shoot 46-47% from three again? That's probably not sustainable, but man, I will say, as somebody who bet against them, every time they pull up from three, it just feels like it's going to find the bottom of the net. They're not a fun team to bet against, I'll say that.
No, they're not. One thing I did jump on, you know, after game one went final and the odds were posted for game two, I agree with that. I think 11's a little bit too rich. You know, I don't really have a love for the total in the game sitting at, you know, a little bit at 228.5. One thing I did jump on is I do like the first quarter for Oklahoma City laying 3.5. I think it's -135 when you're looking at it. That's something I think it moved up a little bit in terms of you're laying a little extra juice now as compared to what you got it for a day and a half ago. I think Oklahoma City is going to go out there and try and set a tone early tomorrow night in that game, offensively and defensively, clean some things up. I'd be curious to see if Dagnall, their head coach, continues to go out there and play small. Like, it's almost like he made a preemptive move because all five guys on Indiana can go out there and shoot the three, instead of the Oklahoma City Thunder making Indiana trying to adjust to what they do, because Oklahoma City's the better basketball team, which was a little bit odd. Didn't love that, because, and then you saw Oklahoma City getting destroyed on the glass throughout the course of the game as well. I think the Thunder on Sunday night, Will, I think they're going to come out with a purpose opening quarter. I don't know if I love them for the game. I think they're going to win. I'd be stunned if Indiana takes this series going back home up 2-0. I think the Thunder are going to win tomorrow night. I think they're going to respond. Zigzag theory. I think they're also going to get off to a great start. I would lay the 3.5 in the opening quarter.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much aligned to that. I would be stunned too. Imagine if it's 2-0 Indiana going back to Indiana. Let's get back to what we were teasing before, though, for last segment. We talked about the four disappointing teams: Braves, Diamondbacks, Red Sox, Rangers. I asked you which of the four you think gets off the mat and makes the playoffs, if any. If I told you from the future, hey, one of these teams is making the playoffs, which one would you pick?
I don't think the Braves are. I mean, I guess the team, but it's hard to say now with Burns being done for the year with the torn UCL. I guess the team I would take would potentially be Arizona getting off the deck. I mean, that would be the team. You think Boston's getting off the deck? I mean, Texas, you think any of those? I mean, where would you go?
I'd probably go Texas just because I think the American League is weaker, and I do like their pitching, but their offense is very concerning. I don't know. You think right now none of the four make the playoffs? That's probably the most likely outcome out of those four?
I think the most likely outcome is none of them are going in, because the problem with Arizona, as you talk it out, is that you look at that division. We were talking about the Dodgers, yeah. You got the Padres, you got the Giants, right? So, I mean, where's the weak link there? Even though LA is not playing great baseball, they're still 11-12 games over the 500 mark. I agree. I would take one of the teams. That's a fair argument where you look at the American League. The issue I have, though, Will, is that I don't necessarily believe if you had to pull, I'd take Texas over Boston. I just don't think either team's making the playoffs.
No, I completely agree. And again, some interesting pieces. If those teams aren't sellers, like it's looking like a lot of good players, a lot of interesting pieces, you know, potentially available coming from those four teams.
The final jewel, the Triple Crown, is here, the Belmont Stakes, and there's no better time to bet the races than right now with First Bet. New users can get a $200 sign-up bonus just to use promo code VSIN200. Whether you're a seasoned horse player or brand new to the sport, First Bet has all the tools to elevate your game. Don't download the app or go to firstbet.com/VSIN to sign up today. That's firstbet.com/VSIN, promo code VSIN200 for your $200 bonus. Next hour, our second and final hour together, Mike Samich is going to join us to give us his preview of the Belmont Stakes up at beautiful Saratoga. He's Will Hill. I'm Mark Melusis. It's Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN.